on this last Wednesday night, chapter number one in the 2 Timothy. I want to look at one verse this evening and just really open up what God laid on my heart. And I'll be honest with you, I've watched through the years, through the last couple of years, this last few months and years, to see what's going on and how things are happening and how nobody knows what's going on, it seems like. And it seems like one day they're one way and one day they're another way and next week they'll be another way. And they're confusing everybody. But one thing that I'm not confused about is I know who the Savior is. I'm glad that I'm not depending, Brother Steve, on the government to get me to heaven. I'm not depending on the CDC to get me to glory. But I'm depending on Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter number 1, the Bible says this, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed." I love the fact that he does say that he is not ashamed. He says it actually in several different verses. In verse number 8, he tells us, "Not be thou therefore ashamed." And in verse number 12, he says he's not ashamed. And then down at verse number 16, he says that he was not ashamed as well. So he tells us to not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's not ashamed of it, neither should we be. But he goes on and he says, "For I know whom I have believed." How many of you can say amen to that tonight? "I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep and that which I have committed unto him against that day." Glory to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I beg you, God, that you just have your will in your way in the remainder of this service, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'd touch me, God, that I might be able to preach, Lord, as you'd have me to preach. Lord, guard my mouth and my mind as I stand behind the sacred desk. Lord, I pray that you just touch those that are traveling, God, those that are in sickness. God, we've had so many text messages and calls today, Lord, that there's ones that are having troubles and trials and tribulations. But God, we know that you are the healer. You are the one that can fix all of the problems that are going on. And Lord, we know ultimately when you come again that you are going to fix everything. Everything's going to be all right. Lord, we beg you right now that during this time, God, that we would uplift your holy name, that we would bring much praise to you, God. Lord, that we wouldn't try to make anything of ourselves, but Lord, that we'd make much of you and your precious holy Son. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. I heard a story, Brother Chris, to be honest with you, I heard of Chris that went to go see a doctor about an illness. And this illness, he said, really, truly, there's nothing that we can do about it. It's incurable. There's nothing that's going on. But there are things that you can stay away from that will cause you, that will cause triggers for you. So you need to stay away from these certain type things. And I began to look through this list and I thought, well, with the very first one, I'm already in trouble. The first thing that causes problems is chocolate. Telling you, I knew I'd get an amen on that one. Chocolate's the very first thing that would have a problem. I would have a problem with that. Why? Because I love chocolate. I've got a sweet tooth. I love it. Praise the Lord. But then the next one is cheese. Chocolate, cheese, citrus fruits, hot coffee, hot baths, stress and anxiety, exercise, excessively warm climates, extremely cold places, hairsprays, and any substance that causes redness or stinging. Well, what's left? You got to stay away from everything, it seems like. Stay away from everything that's there. So he was sent to the doctor that said, or sent to a special store and said, "Listen, you need to go to this place. And when you find this particular medication, it will help you. You need to go find this place." And to his amazement, when he looked at it, Brother Humphrey, he said, "It says 100% satisfaction guaranteed." I always want to say, "as seen on TV," when I say something like that. I don't know why. But 100% satisfaction guaranteed. And you can't get better than 100%. You can't get better than that. And the satisfaction is guaranteed. And they'll make sure that they're doing that. But then he got home. He made that purchase. He went home. He said he was so amazed at that. He began to look at that. And he looked at that tag. It said 100% satisfaction guaranteed. And then right below that, in the very fine print, it said this: "These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease." So we try to put our trust in all of these things. Mankind tries to put their trust and try to find, what can I do to fix this? What can I do to fix this? What can I do and how is it? The very first problem is this, that we're trying to figure out what we can do. When we really need to just depend on the one that actually can do something about what is going on in our life. That there is one, praise God. And we need to just not, we need to stop treating the symptoms. We need to get to the problem. We need to get to the core. And what is that core? What is the main issue? What is that? Well, there is a sin problem with this world. The sin in this world is not ever going to be taken away by church membership or baptism or any other thing that we try to do, and we try to clothe it in any type of thing. But thank God that Jesus Christ has provided the way. That praise God that He has, by the Savior of the world, come down. And without a doubt, I know who He is. I'm glad that I know that He is the one that has saved me, the one that died for me. We place our faith and trust, though, in this world, and things have come, and we try to trust these things, and many times that we put our trust in things that are misplaced. As a matter of fact, the book of Proverbs says this in chapter number 16. He says this, "There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but there, in the end thereof, the ways of death." When we begin to think about what we can try to do and how we can fix something, and then we try to think that I will make it on my own. Who is it, the man that wrote, "I made it my way"? Well, if you go your way, Brother Earl, if we go my way, if we go the way that any man outside of Jesus Christ will find our way going to the gates of hell. But I'm thankful that Jesus Christ has provided a way. I love that it is not a whom, or I love that it is a who and not a what that we trust in. That's what Paul is saying here. He says his trust is not in a system. It's not in a specific place. It's not in a church. It's not in a church system. It's not in a church government. It's not in a system that we try to go through. It's not in a certain tradition that if I follow these rules. We looked this morning in chapter number 2 of the book of Galatians. Had a great time studying the Word of God there in the morning service. But in there, Brother Paul is saying, you don't need to add the law, or you don't need to add anything to salvation of Jesus Christ. It is truly this: faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and that alone. Begin to look at that. It is not the who, it is not the what, but it is the who that we trust in. It's His trust, His faith, and His confidence. It's credited to one, not just one, a one, but the one. The Savior, the Jesus Christ. I can agree with Paul as he begins to pin down this word, as he begins to look through this, and he begins to write this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. He says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed." And I'll be honest with you, it might just be that Brother Paul at that moment, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, had to lay down that inspired pen and had to sit back for a minute and just begin to praise Him. Hey, thank God that sometimes we just need to set down a pen, and we need to set down what we're trying to do on our own and just, glory to God, hallelujah. We just need to praise Jesus Christ. We don't need to try to do anything other than just trust in Him and praise Him for what He has done. And I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. I love that phrase, "that day." Because there is coming a day. We always hear, Brother Jose, we always hear about God is love, and God is loving God, and God. And then the world actually has this thought process that if God is love, and love is what's going to decide where I go, then certainly He wouldn't send me to hell. But there is judgment side of God. God is a God of love, but God is also a just God that has to judge. And therefore, He will judge. And I thank God that there is that day coming. That day that I don't have to stand and cower down and worry about what decision is going to be made. Because I know when I was a 6-year-old little boy that I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. That on that Friday night, I knelt down at an old-fashioned altar. And I begged God to save my soul. And I placed my faith and trust in Him. And I know without a shadow of a doubt tonight that I'm on my way to heaven. You say, well, who did He believe in? What is it that He believed in? Who is it that He's talking about? It is the Son of God. It is the Savior of the world. It is the securer of my soul. He is the one that has done all these things. Look with me. "And for I know whom I have believed." I look at that and I begin to look in my Bible and I begin to look at those words. And I know what "I know" means. I kind of know what's going on. But then I look a little further and I look a little deeper into what God's Word says in the Greek language that is actually written therein. And I begin to see this, Brother Steve, that it actually begins to go a little deeper than I just know. I just have an acknowledgement. I have a knowledge of. of. It goes deeper. It says that I have an experiential knowledge of God. Glory to God. That means that I have experienced something with Him. Not that I know of Him. Glory to God. Not that I've just been told something about Him. Not that God has just, I've heard about Him. I haven't just heard about Him. I haven't just read about Him. I haven't just been taught about Him. I haven't just listened to sermons about Him. I haven't just sung songs about Jesus Christ. But thank God there was that night that I experienced Jesus Christ. That God came on my soul. God knocked on the door of my heart. And I trusted in Him that I have an experience with Him. I know Him. I hope you did not have had an experience with Jesus Christ. Not something in which you just say that I went down and I said and repeated a little prayer, or I went and I got baptized, or I went and I joined a church. But no, that you experienced Jesus Christ saving your soul. You say, Brother Shane, I don't know. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. If you're not real sure and you don't know what I'm talking about, then I guarantee you that you might just need to do a little bit of altar time tonight. And know that you know that you know that you have trusted Jesus Christ and had an experiential knowledge of Jesus Christ. I know Him. I have a personal faith in Him. I have an intimate knowledge of Him. I am one-on-one. I'm on a first name basis, Brother Joseph. He knows my name. I know His voice. I understand when He's calling out to me, I know without a shadow of a doubt that God is my God, that Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit of God is deep within inside of my soul. I thank God that I know Him and He knows me. I know in whom I have believed. I talk with Him. I walk with Him. I drive. He rides with me. Even when that person in front of me. I'm telling on myself. He rides with me through Atlanta. He carries my burdens. Glory to God. He took away all. Not just part. Not just a smidgen. Not just those particular, not those here and there. He didn't just choose which ones He would pay for, Brother Steve. He took away all. Glory to God. Why in the world we don't just shout hallelujah for 30 minutes right there, knowing that God has given us salvation and has forgiven us of all of our sin and has taken them away. Thank God that He took away the sins of the world. He carries our burdens. He took our sin away. And thank God He's coming again. I'm looking forward to the day. I'm looking forward to that day. I'll be honest with you. I remember being young. We got the young people in here tonight. And you usually don't get to be in here. And praise God. I'm glad you're here. But I know you're thinking, man, that old guy, he's crazy. But I'm 43 years old. There was a time where I didn't think I was that old. But I'm getting old real fast. But I remember the days when I began to say, I just want to turn 13 years old. I want to be a teenager. I don't know why I wanted to do that, but I did. And then it got to be where I wanted to turn 16 to be able to drive a car. Now, I want to be honest with you, Brother Joseph. I don't understand kids today. They don't even want to drive a car anymore. But come on now. That was our rite of passage. We got out and we drove a car. We could go see it. Well, maybe it's because we didn't have FaceTime back then. Turn 16, then I want to graduate high school. I want to turn 18 and be able to do. Want to turn 21. Now I've never drank a drop in my life, so I don't know why I wanted to turn 21, but I did. And I wanted to turn 21 and be able to do all these sort of things. And then I got married and said, boy, I just want to marry Heather. I just want to be husband and wife with her. And I want to have children. And then we had children. And now I'm just praying, Lord, please come back. For 20 years, I've been praying, Lord, please, come back. But see, I realize that I'm looking forward to somebody that's not just merely a man. That He is the Son of God. Wow. When we begin to look at that, begin to think about that, we're not talking about a mere man. He is God in the flesh. God refers to Jesus as the only begotten. And in Psalm chapter number 2, he says this, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. John chapter number 1, verse number 14. But the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory is only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. 4 verses later in John chapter number 1, verse number 18. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. John chapter number 3, verse number 16 tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. So I began to think there's got to be something about that only begotten thing. And I found out that there's only 16 times that that word is actually used in the Greek New Testament. We begin to look through, and only is used a lot of the times. Begotten is about 6 times through the entire New Testament. And that means this, the single, only one of its kind. There ain't nobody, glory to God, hallelujah. There ain't nobody like Jesus Christ. There ain't nobody like the Son of God. There ain't nobody that has taken away my sins other than Him. There ain't nobody that's like Him. He's the only one. He's the one that paid the debt that I owed. He's the one that got up from the grave, and He's the one that's coming again. Glory to God. He is the only one of His kind, and it is Jesus Christ, my Lord, my Savior, the Son of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It gets dangerous when you start talking about Jesus and how good He is. Why? Because you start having a good time. And you start enjoying yourself. And then all of a sudden it'll spill over. And somebody else starts to enjoy themselves. And before long, you know it, we look like a bunch of holy rollers in here glorifying God and praising Jesus Christ. But hey, that'll be all right. Why? Because I am on a roll for Jesus Christ. And I know that Jesus Christ is on a roll for me. I know that He is on my side. And He is the Savior of the world. The Son of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm going to get in trouble. Y'all defend me to Brother Joe. Hallelujah. Man, but God claimed him. Have you ever met a family that didn't like each other? You ever met people that just, I think that's sad. I'll be honest with you. We got a close-knit family. Y'all all know our family. I talk bad about my sisters, but I love them. I can say that because they're not here tonight. They won't know about it. Hallelujah. Don't tell them. Somebody has to keep them on level ground. Right? Somebody has to keep them, their head small. Don't give them the big head. They begin to float away, praise the Lord. That there's people, some people that I've even heard people say, well, he's part of my family, but I don't claim him. Boy, I claim my mama and daddy. Even when they don't want to claim me, I claim my mama and daddy. I even claim my sisters, praise the Lord. They're good folk. They're good. They're married to a bunch of heathens, but it's all right. Glory to God. And no, it's all right. Maybe it's their kids that's the heathens. I don't know. But God claimed Jesus Christ. At the baptism of Jesus Christ, the skies opened up and God thundered down that this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. This is Him. When you begin to think, and I just don't understand, Brother Joseph, why in the world did people question it still? When God is saying, this is Him. I approve of Him. He's the only begotten. And then in chapter number 17 of Matthew, when James, John, and Peter are up on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus Christ, they're sitting there and they're saying, well, let's just make temples and we'll make one for you and one for Moses and Elijah and we'll make all these temples and we'll... And then all of a sudden, they're shut up by a big old thunder again. And He says, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye Him. There's no question. God says, that's Him. That's my Son. That's the one that I'm proud of. That's the one that has been coming and I've been telling you. That's the Messiah that has been on His way. And then Jesus claimed it as well. You say, how did He claim it? Well, He said in John chapter number 14, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He also said it this way. He says, I am the door. He also says this, I am the good shepherd. I am the vine. I'm the bread of life. He even says that I am the light, and praise God. In John chapter number 12, he says that chapter number 11, he says, I am the resurrection. Isn't it wonderful to know that Jesus Christ is also saying that it's me. I'm the one that you've been looking for. I'm the one that you've been longing for. It is me. And God says, it's him. He is the Son of God. And I'm glad I know who he is. Not only is he the Son of God, but also number two, he's the Savior of the world. I'm glad that I know him on a personal basis. We can do all the Christian things to do, but when it comes to judgment day, that day, we will be lacking. We can join the church, we can join the choir, we can do Bible studies, we can be baptized 15 times over, we can raise our hands, we can even shout. But unless we put our faith and trust in the Savior of the world, nothing we do will ever make us worthy. Nothing that we try to perform will ever make us worthy. It is only the Savior of the world that gives us eternal life. You say, well, how is that? Why? Because he completed something. One of my favorite verses in the whole Bible, John chapter number 19, verse number 30. Jesus Christ utters three words. What is it? It is finished. That means I don't have to add to anything. That means I don't have to put on something else. That means I don't have to go by any more laws. I don't have to do this or that or the other. I don't have to be approved by this. I don't have to act like that. All I have to do is trust in his finished work. You say, that's too easy, Brother Shane. Well, at the end of the book of Galatians in chapter number 2 this morning, we got to the end of chapter number, verse number 21, I believe it is. It says that if we could be redeemed or we could be justified by the law, then Christ has been crucified and died in vain. So why would God send his Son, only begotten Son, the Son that he loves so very much, why would he put him through all of that if we could be justified by the law? Paul is telling us there's no way. The sacrifice had to be done, and it had to be the perfect Son of God, the Savior of the world. And as he cried, it is finished, he didn't perform an incomplete salvation. He gave us the real thing. You say, well, what is it? It's a personal salvation. You say, Brother Shane, you really feel like, I thank God that my mom and dad are saved, and I'm glad that they took me to church. And I'm like Brother Joe, I went to church 9 months before I was born too. I'm glad I was able to do that. But when I was 6 years old, I realized that wasn't going to get me there. I'm glad that I get to hear my papa and my granny sing songs about the Lord Jesus Christ all of my life, to be able to see that, to be able to understand that they served Jesus Christ, but their salvation wasn't good enough for me. Mom and dad's salvation wasn't good enough for me. When my sisters got saved and started singing for the Lord, their salvation wasn't good enough for me. I had to experience. Glory to God. I had to experience God myself. I had to understand that he gave that personal salvation to me. In Revelation chapter number 1, verse number 5, it says this, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us in our sins, from our sins, in his own blood. That means, I couldn't I just cut my hand and go, but no, it had to be in his blood. A personal salvation, a personal witness, a personal salvation that God has given to us. He washed our sins in his blood. Well, there's nothing like being set under the blood of Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Boy, it's a personal salvation from the Savior of the world. Not only is it a personal salvation, but it is a precious salvation and a precious blood. You say, well, how is that? Well, Peter said this in 1 Peter 4, as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversations received from the traditions from your father, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without spot and without blemish. Oh, it is the blood of Jesus Christ. Peter spoke of that precious blood of God. There's nothing so precious in the world than the blood of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. I begin to think, boy, it's personal. It's precious. But is there anything better? He sure is powerful. You say, how is he powerful, Brother Shane? Well, the Bible tells us in John chapter number 10, he's actually talking about to the sheep and about the shepherd and the great shepherd and how he is. But he also begins to tell us this. He says, hey, I have the power to lay down my life. No cross took the life of Jesus Christ. No soldier took the life of Jesus Christ. No nail took the life of Jesus Christ. Nothing took the life of Jesus Christ. He laid it down voluntarily. But then, it gets better. Not only did it lay it down, but he had the power. Glory to God, hallelujah, praise Jesus. He had the power not only to lay it down, but he had the power to pick it back up. To bring it back up. Glory to God, he was able to bring his own life. He had the power to do that. And hey, I just begin to think about this. If he has the power to not only lay his life down, but bring it back up, I believe he's got the power that when I die, when I close my eyes in death, and you see Brother Shane rolled down in a casket in front of this church someday, maybe, glory to God, he's got the power to take and raise me up again. Praise God, I'm going to have eternal life throughout, for when I close my eyes in death, he will raise me again from death into life. Praise God forevermore. I have Jesus Christ in my heart, the Savior of the world, and he has the power to raise me up. And lastly, I'm going to let you go because it's the last service of the year. He's the securer of my soul. You say, Brother Shane, I take my Bible or I take my money and I take it into the bank and I give my money to the bank so they're going to make sure that they keep it and hold it. Make sure that I don't lose it. I'll be honest with you. Sister Heather had to slip out, so I'm going to let y'all in on a secret. There's a secret spot, probably in every man's wallet. Uh-oh, I'm telling on Brother Gary now. Close them up now. There's a secret spot in every man's wallet where we keep a little something. Well, at least my daddy taught me to do that. Oh, I'm sorry, Dad. And I thought I was going to be safekeeping. I thought it'd be all right. As long as I got that little, I'll give Heather all that money that she opens up the wallet, she sees, and I'll be honest with you. But boy, she sees that, but I got that spot, Brother Earl. Brother Tag, I realized she found it. She found where that secret spot was and where I thought I was going to hide my money away, where I thought it was in safekeeping, that nobody knew where it was but me and God. All I know is God told on me. That's all I can figure. She found it. We try to put all that. But look at the end of that verse where it says, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. Against that day. He's better than any hidden pocket. Better than any safety deposit box. Better than anything else that you would be. I love that this verse, this part of this verse just blesses me. Paul says, I am persuaded. That word persuaded actually means this. I have an immovable position. I am so persuaded. I have such an immovable position. I have been persuaded by God, by the words of God, and by the deeds of God, and the work of God, that I am, glory to God, you can't move me off of this spot. I am persuaded. How is it that he's persuaded? How is that? In Romans, Paul actually even says that I'm persuaded by the promises. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't have time to get into that, but thank God that the promises that God has given to us, the promise that he would save us, the promise that he'd never... Well, I'm going to go ahead and get into it. Glory to God. The promise that he'd save us, and the promise that he would come and get us again, and the promise that he would keep us, and the promise that he's going to hide us, and the promise that he's building a place for us, and he is coming again. Glory to God. The promises that Paul Paul talks about. He says, I'm persuaded because of all these things. God, I have an immovable faith in what God has told me. And I have been secured. My soul has been secured because of Jesus Christ. Wow. It says that he's able. Not only did Jesus purchase my salvation, but he's keeping me. That word able, I actually begin to circle and do all kinds of fun stuff. And sometimes you just had to. Sometimes I think, man, I need glasses. And then I'm like, I can't even read my own writing. Praise God. I wrote down in there that he has the power. He is able. That's actually what that, Brother Jose, that's what that word means, that he is able. He has the power. There's sometimes when I begin to look and I begin to say, hey, I want to do this, but I'm just not able. I don't have the power to do it. I want to do this. I desire to do this, but I'm not able. But thank God I've put my faith and trust in one that is able. I'm one and one that has the power. And one that knows that he's keeping me and he has the power to do it. He can do what he's promised, and I can rely on him because he has the power to do what he said he would do for me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's got the power to do what? To keep. Simply put, running fast through this verse, this last part. To keep it, to guard it, to keep a watch over it. This is my favorite. Brother Earl, to defend. Glory to God. To defend it. When you begin to, you think, I've got the power to defend that. I want to defend my family, but somebody may overcome. Someone may be stronger than me. Someone may be more wise than me. Someone may be able to do this. But Jesus Christ, I've put my faith in one, the securer of my soul. Why is it? Because he is able. He has the power to defend it. You say, what is it? What is it that he can defend? Whatever I put in his hands. Lord God, hallelujah. Did you just get a hold of what I just said? He has the power to defend whatever I put in his hands. My salvation, he has the power to defend it. That means my family. That means my little boys. That means that my little girl. That means my little wife. That means that the people of this church, he has the power. He has the power to defend it. The ones that I can't go through, the times that, boy, there's so many times, Dad, that I've actually looked and I've tried to go through, and I just wish that I could go on through those doors of people when they're getting surgeries, and you begin to see those doors open up and they go through and those doors close on you, and there's nothing that I can do beyond that part, Brother Earl. All I can do is go back to the waiting room. All I can do is go back to Krispy Kreme, glory to God, and pray a prayer or something. Glory to God. But then I realize, there's one. There's one that has the power to defend, to be able to help, to be able to go places that I can't go, to do things that I cannot do, to be able to work in ways that I cannot work. And he's the securer of my soul. He's the Savior of the world. He's the Son of God. He is Jesus Christ Almighty. Glory to God. And I'm so thankful that he can keep me, defend me. When the waves of life come, he has the power to lift me above them. When the mountains of the world, when the mountains of trials and tribulations come, and my foot begins to slip, he has the power to shore up my step. He has the power to help me beyond anything that I can do. When I am at my rope's end, he has the power to defend all around each and every one of us. And I'm so thankful that I know him. How many of you glad you know him? How many of you glad that you know Jesus Christ and he has been the defender of your life? Oh, I'm thankful for that. But I wonder, have you put your faith and trust in him? Is there somebody that's watching tonight that hadn't placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You need a secure of your soul. They need a Savior. Everybody needs a Savior. You're putting your faith and trust in somebody else or something else. It's Son of God. It's Savior of the world. It's the secure of my soul. It's Jesus Christ. And it's because I know in whom I have believed. I've actually been singing this song this afternoon. Brother Joseph came in my office, and even Brother Jerry came in my office, and I started talking to him about this song. And Brother Jerry said, I hadn't heard that in 100 years. Wow. Hadn't been quite that long for me, but I hadn't heard it in a long time. The chorus goes like this. Without a doubt, I'm saved. I've been born again. Washed in Calvary's flow, pure and white within. Oh, I once was lost by sin's chains enslaved, but now I know, without a doubt, I'm saved. Why? Because I know whom I have believed. Without a doubt, I'm saved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this time. I thank you for this service.